Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. We're here again to really dig into some key sources and hopefully bring a bit more clarity.
That's the goal.
Today, we're taking a close look at the Truth Seekers Weekly Briefings Masterclass Connecting the Dots, specifically for the week of September 12th, and we're focusing on their Truth Seekers Q&A.
Right, the community questions. Always insightful.
Definitely. And this week, wow, it hits hard with a central theme. More signs. Everything is collapsing political assassinations.
It's intense framing.
It is. And the source puts it bluntly, saying the warning signs are no longer subtle assassinations, unrest, and censorship. Show us the system is failing. Now is the time to see clearly and act decisively.
This is a very urgent tone, doesn't it?
It really does. So our plan today is to unpack five pretty thought-provoking questions from their community, questions really designed to, you know, push past the usual narratives.
Mm-hmm. Challenge your thinking.
Exactly. We'll navigate these, trying to get to the heart of what awareness means right now.
And that's what we aim for, right? To give you some perspective, maybe some tools to navigate all this change. Doesn't matter if it's world events, disclosure, personal awakening stuff.
Or even spiritual practices.
Yeah, all of it. It's about trying to connect those dots, help you build a framework to understand these patterns, maybe feel a bit more grounded in, well, what feels like a pretty complex world.
Okay, let's dive in then. First question. This one was flagged by the Truth Seekers community as especially significant this week.
Okay.
It's from a subscriber, and it references a very startling claim made in the source material, they ask. The assassination of Charlie Kirk feels like a turning point. Are we witnessing the start of a new wave of political violence designed to silence voices on both sides? Who benefits from escalating division inside the U.S.?
That's a heavy one the source brings up.
It is. And the source frames this claimed event, the killing of Charlie Kirk, as, well, a dark milestone. It suggests that, look, polarization's been rising for a while.
We all see that. Right. But something like this, crossing into mainstream political life, the source suggests it points to something maybe more deliberate.
Deliberate how?
Well, the implication, according to the source material, is this kind of chilling effect on free speech.
Oh.
You know, potentially making people just scared.
Scared to gather or debate things.
Exactly. Scared to question the narratives openly. That's the idea presented.
Okay, so the second part of the question then. Who benefits from all this division? According to the source.
Yeah, the source is pretty direct on that. It basically says political violence serves those who profit from division. Simple as that.
Meaning
a fractured society is easier to control, easier to distract people, steer them away from finding common ground, from unity. Each act of violence in this view just deepens the fear.
The fear feeds.
Feeds the very systems of control that, well, seem to thrive on chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perspective offered.
So if we're trying to look beyond just the headlines, like the source encourages,
yeah.
What's the core takeaway here, the insight for, you know, truth seekers?
The deeper lesson, as the source really hammers home, is about seeing past that surface division. It's about recognizing fear tactics for what they are, tools, basically.
Tools of manipulation.
Right. And then consciously refusing to let that violence dictate your own state of mind, your consciousness. The real takeaway, true power is about holding on to your inner peace, even when things outside are chaotic.
That's a powerful idea. Inner resilience. Okay. So sticking with external pressures, the next question shifts gears a bit towards the economy. Lots of people feeling a disconnect here.
Mm-hmm.
A subscriber asks, markets are rallying on expectations of Fed rate cuts, but households are struggling more than ever. Is the Fed really trying to stabilize the economy or just propping up Wall Street at the expense of Main Street? That tension feels very real for a lot of folks.
Oh, absolutely. And this question nails that stark contrast, the source points out. You've got Wall Street cheering potential rate cuts.
Big celebrations.
Yeah, well, Main Street, you know, families are dealing with rising costs, more debt, less confidence. It feels like two different worlds.
And the source says this isn't just random.
No, the source explicitly states this disconnect isn't an accident. It suggests it actually reveals the Fed's priorities. The argument is that central banking tends to serve the financial markets first.
Using stock indexes as a measure of health, even if people are struggling.
That's the idea presented. Treating those indexes as a proxy for stability, even while households are falling further behind.
And the source also suggests that even if rates are cut, it won't fix the underlying problems. What are those deeper issues it points to?
Precisely. Look, rate cuts might give some temporary relief, maybe on mortgages or credit cards, right?
Right.
But the source argues they won't solve the big structural things.
Like what?
Like wage stagnation, wages just not keeping up. debt dependency, everyone relying on credit,
Yeah.
and just systemic inequality baked into the system.
Okay.
So for people who are, awakening, the source frames this as a teaching moment. It's about understanding that the current economic setup, maybe, isn't designed to empower people as much as it is to extract from them.
That's a strong claim.
It is. And the source suggests that just recognizing this illusion, seeing it for what it is, well, that's the first step towards maybe building parallel systems, systems of value, resilience, outside of that old financial model.
Building parallel systems that definitely connects to ideas of sovereignty. Which brings us actually pretty neatly to the next topic, civil liberties.
Right.
This feels like it's under pressure everywhere. Question three gets right into it. The UK just banned Palestine Action and labeled them terrorists. Is this about national security, or is it part of a bigger trend of governments criminalizing dissent? How far could this go in Western democracies? Raises some big concerns.
Yeah, and the source definitely views that UK decision about Palestine Action as troubling, a real escalation.
Even though officials cite property damage.
Well, yes, officials cite that, but critics, as the source presents it, argue it really blurs the line, between activism and what they're now calling terrorism.
And arresting people under the Terrorism Act for protesting arms sales.
Exactly. The source sees that as sending a pretty chilling message. The message being dissent itself, the act of protesting, is being redefined as potentially criminal.
And it's crucial, isn't it, to see this not just as a UK story. The source points to something broader.
It does. It connects it directly to a wider trend.
Yeah.
You see this across Western democracies, according to the source. Governments using security language, security
To
frameworks,
clamp down on
to
protest.
restrict protest, speech, organizing. Yeah. The awakening lesson here, as the source puts it, is kind of a stark reminder
Which is?
that rights we often just assume are permanent, they can vanish pretty quickly when things get pressured. So vigilance becomes essential. You have to actively protect that sovereignty of thought, of voice, because a precedent set against one group, well, it can easily be applied to others down the line.
Vigilance, that feels like the key word, especially as we shift now into the digital world. Question four tackles digital control, personal sovereignty.
Always relevant today.
Totally. Subscriber asks, Nepal banned Facebook, WhatsApp, YouTube, and other platforms, while AI is becoming a strategic national asset. Are we seeing the rise of digital authoritarianism worldwide? And how can individuals protect their sovereignty in this new information battlefield? This hits close to home for how we all live now.
For sure. And Nepal's move, that sweeping ban on, what, 26 platforms, the source explains it's not isolated. It's part of this growing global trend.
Governments wanting more control over the internet.
Asserting control over digital infrastructure, yeah,
Yeah.
often under the banner of security or national sovereignty. And at the same time, you've got AI.
Right, AI is everywhere.
And it's increasingly seen, even weaponized, as a tool of power. Access to computing power, data, algorithms, that's all being treated like national assets now.
Yeah.
So the source really emphasizes digital life. It's not neutral anymore, it's contested territory.
Yeah.
A battlefield, as the question puts it.
Wow. Okay, so given that landscape, this increasing control, what does the source actually recommend for us as individuals? How do we protect our sovereignty?
Well, the source is pretty clear. Sovereignty has to extend into the digital realm now. It's not just physical anymore.
And practically, what does that look like?
It means, first, deep discernment, learning to spot algorithmic manipulation, when you're being steered, actively looking for decentralized tools that things not controlled by big corporations, and maybe most importantly, building real, direct human networks, connections outside those corporate platforms.
So, tech solutions and human solutions.
Both. But there's a deeper layer, too, from the awakening perspective in the source. It argues that ultimately true sovereignty starts within.
Within, how so?
By training your own awareness, filtering information through your intuition, that sort of heart-centered discernment, not just blindly accepting what algorithms feed you. The idea is if you do that, you can actually stay free internally, even if the external digital world gets more control. It's about cultivating inner resistance, inner wisdom.
That focus on inner work amidst all this external stuff, it feels like a good bridge to our final question. This one really zooms out to the big geopolitical picture and connects it to the Great Awakening.
Okay, the macro view.
Yeah. A subscriber asks, from Bolsonaro's prison sentence in Brazil to Russian drones over Poland, tensions are rising everywhere. Are these just isolated conflicts or signs of a collapsing global order that's giving birth to a multipolar world? What does this mean for the Great Awakening? That's a huge question to unpack.
It is huge, and the source's take is, no, these flashpoints aren't random. They're not isolated. They're seen as clear signs, indicators of a global order that's shifting and shifting fast.
So Bolsonaro's conviction in Brazil.
The source points to that exposing deep internal divisions, right? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Poland's issues with Russian drones, that underscores how fragile the balance is between NATO and Moscow.
And then you have Russia, China, North Korea making gestures of unity.
Exactly. The source highlights those symbolic gestures, feeding this perception that a serious multipolar bloc is really forming, challenging the old way of things.
Mm-hmm. So connecting these dots, like the source encourages, what's the overall story about the old order here? Where is it heading?
Well, the source is pretty explicit about it. It says the unipolar world, you know, the one largely dominated by American influence.
Yeah.
That's giving way. It's becoming something much more fractured, more volatile, definitely more unpredictable.
Which sounds dangerous.
It's framed as both dangerous, yes, but also potentially liberating. That's the key twist.
Liberating how?
Because this collapse, this breakdown of the old order, it forces everyone, nations, individuals, to question things, to question dependencies, alliances, the narratives we've always been told.
And for the Great Awakening concept, how does this fit in?
The source interprets this whole phase as really significant for the awakening. It signals that these cracks appearing in the old systems, they're actually opportunities
for what?
Opportunities for higher patterns to emerge. Things like genuine sovereignty, real cooperation, truth coming to the surface. But, and this is crucial, it depends on humanity choosing those paths consciously. It's like evolution happening through a massive transformation.
Wow. That's quite a journey through those five questions. Mm-hmm. And like the closing reflection in the source says so well, these headlines aren't just random events. They're catalysts really pushing us to develop discernment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you take that step back, the connecting the dots section in the source, it pulls it all together into this like coherent pattern.
Can you walk us through that pattern again?
Sure. So we started with political violence,
yeah.
The takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Fear and chaos are used to stop unity, but awareness is your first step to sovereignty.
Right.
Then economic illusions. Dependency on the old financial systems. Not sustainable. It's pushing us toward local resilient options.
Okay.
Third, civil liberties. The reminder that liberty isn't guaranteed. You have to actively defend it, especially when security gets stretched.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, digital sovereignty. Reclaiming tools, yes, but also that inner discernment is critical on this new battlefield.
Makes sense.
And finally, those geopolitical flashpoints. Global instability isn't just chaos. It's the old systems breaking apart, giving humanity a choice point for new, more conscious ways forward.
So it all ties together.
It really does. And it all converges on this one powerful truth, as the bigger picture section puts it. Humanity is basically living through the collapse of illusions.
Illusions about power, money, freedom.
All of it. Violence, economics, civil liberties, digital control, geopolitics. They're all just different expressions of the same big shift. The old order is straining because it's being exposed.
And I love how the source frames the Great Awakening not as, like, ignoring these crises.
No, not at all.
But seeing them as the catalysts. Each event is a challenge, isn't it? To see through the manipulation, reclaim that discernment, and consciously choose to align with a higher consciousness.
Exactly. The invitation is clear. Wake up, rise above the fear, claim your sovereignty in every part of your life, mental, emotional, spiritual, digital, and help birth a future that's actually rooted in truth, freedom, and awareness.
It really is a profound call to action for our minds, our hearts, our spirits.
Really?
Okay, so as we move toward wrapping up, the Truth Seekers weekly wrap-up shifts the focus beautifully, doesn't it? It's all about the journey from the matrix to higher frequency living.
Yeah, it brings it right back to the personal.
Yeah.
How do these big global insights actually apply to your evolution?
So what are the key pillars the source offers for that journey?
Okay, so the source lays out several key pillars for awakening. First one, let go of fear. Big one.
The master key of control, it says.
Right. Releasing it is like the first act of sovereignty. It's the doorway to real freedom. Second, practice forgiveness and emotional clearing.
Unshackling from the past.
Yeah, consciously letting go. Forgiveness dissolves that old energetic junk, brings clarity, reclaims your power. Third, meditation and transformational breathing. Using the breath as a tool, basically.
Their inner alignment, more awareness.
Exactly. And being consciously present. And the last one is live with the heart of a volunteer.
What does that mean exactly?
Reading with authenticity, service, unconditional love. just embodying integrity and compassion in what you do.
And that ties into that core analogy they often use, right? You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously. Really makes you think about your role.
It does. Am I caught up in the drama or am I the conscious observer? And building on that, the source gives you some really insightful questions for your own personal code of mindset.
Oh, yeah. Like one.
Like asking yourself, are you observing your thoughts or are they running the show? That's a big one.
Definitely.
Also, is your mental atmosphere vibrationally aligned at 50% or higher? Meaning, is your inner state generally positive, expansive?
Interesting metric.
Yeah. And can you feel the resonance of your higher self? Are you connected to that deeper part of you? And finally, are you responding with awareness or reacting on autopilot?
Those are profound questions to sit with. Really brings it all back home.
It does.
What a powerful way to conclude. The source's final message really sums it up, doesn't it? The path out of the matrix and into higher consciousness isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily choice.
Mm-hmm. Moment by moment.
A moment-by-moment commitment to awareness, sovereignty, and alignment. That's something we can all take into our daily lives starting right now.
Absolutely.
So for everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay awake, stay empowered, and keep connecting the dots.